listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The Cleveland Browns draft picks are in. Order your jerseys straight from the team. Johnny Manziel, Justin Gilbert, to name a couple. Maybe you want a Joel Bitonio. I'd urge you to get the Joel Bitonio as well.
Right.
Visit the team shop. I mean it. In downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium. Open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura of Football Thursday, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Pleased to welcome into the show right now our great friend, a regular on this program from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. He is Doug Deacon. Deke, how you doing, brother?
Doing fine. Just glad I wasn't at minicamp practicing. I tell you what, you know, you think about, you know, these guys, they go through the off season here, and then all of a sudden you hit that, and it's a lot different than it was in the old days where they just brought you in and ran you through some drills to see what kind of shape you were in. I mean, they actually have a, you know, pretty much a regular practice out there.
Yeah, it's detailed, and it also gets a little heated, and we saw the fracas that happened yesterday. So speaking about this from a player perspective, where do you come down on the issue of practice fights?
Well, I mean, it doesn't help anybody, but, you know, you can understand that, you know, if somebody gets cheap-shotted or, you know, feels that they're done dirty, you know, they're going to retaliate. And the thing is, you know, you got to get it out of your system and just move on, because you're all on the same team. And I think, you know, the lesson is to be learned that is when you get into a game, you know, it can cost you 15 yards. So you got to be smart about, you know, how you retaliate and not do it where it's noticeable.
No question about it. Doug Deacon joining us here on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline on CBD. Doug, your impressions of yesterday's practice and the way that it was run, and any personnel things that jumped out we could get into later, but just overall, your general impressions of your first look at a Mike Pettin practice.
Well, I thought it was ran very well. I mean, all the groups, you know, were breaking down and doing their individual drills, and obviously without pads, it's going to be a little bit different than if, you know, you had the pads on. But, you know, and I think, you know, everybody was watching Johnny Manziel. And, you know, I think the thing, just watching him, he's going to be a guy that's going to have to move in the pocket a little bit just to find throwing lanes. You know, obviously he's not that tall. And you notice his delivery isn't a real high delivery for the most part. So I think, you know, his ability to move back and forth within the pocket is, you know, he's going to have to make sure that he can find the passing lanes.
That was the first thing you said to me when I saw you on the field yesterday. You said, boy, he's really not that big, is he? And it's like, you know what the roster says with the height and so forth, but it's out there when you're comparing him relatively to the other players on the field. And that was what jumped out at you.
Yeah, that jumped out. And the fact, you know, it doesn't have a high delivery. But, hey, you know, Drew Brees is about the same height. And, you know, the great ones find a way to get it done. I mean, the league is about compensation. If you can't do if you don't have the great height, then you find a way to move around and you know, find those windows that you can throw the ball in. And I think, you know, to judge him on, you know, yesterday, you know, everybody's, you know, got their eyes on him, but you know, he's got to learn the playbook, and you know, so he can anticipate the throws and things like that. And you know, the fact that they have him behind, you know, in the depth chart is a good thing. I think, you know, he can sit there and learn behind Brian, because, you know, Brian takes a lot of pride in his leadership, and, you know, he learned from Tom Brady. And when you learn from Tom Brady, you know, you've gone to the top of the ladder.
You certainly have, and that's what Brian Hoyer did. Your thoughts on Brian Hoyer? I thought he looked pretty good movement-wise. I thought his arm looked stronger than it did to me last year.
Yeah, and you know, I thought that he wasn't going to do the 11-on-11s, but all of a sudden I saw him out there. So it's one of those things. And I go back, and you know, he said it to Colt McCoy and said it to Brian Hoyer. Hey, you know, Mike Phipps was the third overall pick in the draft back in 1970. Then in 1972, Brian Sipe was like the 17th pick or 16th round pick. And, you know, in 1980, Brian was the league MVP, and Mike Phipps was out of the league. So, you know, hey, just because somebody's drafted high, they still have to beat you out.
Doug Deacon is joining us on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Doug, as we talked about Hoyer, too, and his mindset. I just like the approach he's taking. He seems to not at all be fazed by the idea that his competition comes in with a lot more cachet, a lot bigger marquee name than he has, and yet he's holding more than holding his own. I mean, he's showing us some things that also command our attention, and Nathan and I were saying it earlier, people I also spoke with on the sidelines, Hoyer is looking pretty good.
Yeah, and he is. I mean, but, you know, Brian Hoyer's a competitor. I mean, he wants the job. I mean, he wants to be the quarterback. You know, the unfortunate thing is, you know, if he does, you know, once the preseason starts and he makes a mistake, you know, the fans are going to be tough on him, and that's not fair. You got to judge him as any other quarterback, not the fact that you got Johnny Manziel sitting behind him and you want to see him play. So, you know, I hope people, you know, realize this is about the Cleveland Browns. This is not about Johnny Manziel and Brian Hoyer. It's about getting the best people out there that can help you win on a Sunday.
One of those guys who I think is going to help people, the Browns win on Sunday, is Joel Bitonio. This was a chance to really see him in action, got some time with the first unit as well. I thought he had noticeable explosion off the ball at the snap. Doug, what was your take on the talented young lineman?
Well, I mean, he looked like he was, you know, built to be a guard. I mean, he's kind of like the Gene Hickerson built, but a little taller. I mean, he's like a little refrigerator out there. He's well put together, and you know, it looked like he had a, you know, good center of balance. He bent his knees well, and that's one of the things that you always, you know, look for in a offensive lineman. You know, whether or not he can bend his knees, because, you know, leverage is a big part of the game, and he looked at adapted at that. Even though, you know, he did have the knee braces on, but that might be just something that, you know, carries over from college and the safety factor of it. So, no, I mean, the fact that they moved him right in shows that, you know, they're not, you know, going to sit there and wait to see if he can develop. If he can play, he'll play right away.
Yeah, Doug, I think he's something special. We were talking about his footwork. If you could kind of break it down technically, the importance of having that first step, because that's what I keep hearing, what the scouts loved about this guy, what the coaches see in this guy right away, is that first step thing and how it translates into this zone blocking scheme.
Well, yeah, you got to, you know, get on your man before he gets on to you. And, you know, where your hands and where your feet are, I mean, your ability to take the right step and get the position. And then, you know, the thing is, you kept hearing the coaches say yesterday was keep running, keep running. And in other words, you know, get your body on their body. And, you know, the idea is that, you know, as long as you got a body on them, they're not going to arm tackle somebody with just one arm. So, you know, they're going to have to wrap up a guy, because we've got some big backs. You know, Tate is, you know, obviously a good, solid guy. But that West kid, you know, he's put together pretty good, too. So, you know, that was an old thing that Blanton Collier used to say, keep a body on them and nobody's going to tackle the running back with one arm. Of course, he was talking about Jim Brown and Leroy Kelly, but, you know, still, you know, the concept is still there. You know, as long as you can keep the body on, keep on your feet, you know, these guys can't, you know, get their hands out and just tackle, you know, by grabbing them.
Yeah, this is going to be a ground game with a couple of horses who certainly can run the football. And you said he's going to be tough to bring down, Terrence West. I'm excited to see him get to actually hit people down the line there. Anybody else stand out to you as you were watching, Doug, that really caught your eye, either on the offensive or defensive side of the ball?
Not really. I mean, you know, I think, you know, obviously Joe Hayden has, you know, come in and just talking to him before practice and, you know, watching him. You know, the contract he deserved, I call him the mayor, because, you know, this guy is a pretty good ambassador for the city of Cleveland in regards to, you know, going to the baseball games and the basketball games. But also, I think, you know, he realizes that he's at that point in his career where, you know, he's the guy that's going to be the captain back there in the secondary, and he's got to step up his game. And it seemed like a much more mature Joe Hayden than we've seen probably in years past.
Yeah, and I like the fact that you could sense that level of, I don't know that he's ever acted as if he were insecure, but yeah. You sense a level of security from him that, hey, I know I'm the guy now. I mean, I'm the highest paid player on this team. That has a pecking order. I don't know that the salary has to, at the end of it all, you better play, but his play merits it too. But what I'm seeing, though, Doug, is a guy that's so important now, because you take Justin Gilbert as your top pick, and clearly you want him to be a defining piece in this defense that Mike Pettine plays, which is all about coverage, especially to allow those that front seven to do their thing. And he needs a mentor. And I think Joe embraces that because there's no threat from Joe's standpoint because Joe's the guy.
Yeah, and he's gone from being the buddy, of the safety to being the mentor, as you mentioned, to thing. You know, he, for a long time, him and TJ were just, you know, they were the buddies. Yeah, they were the guys that, you know, hung out together and they were in the thing. Now comes the responsibility, and that's one of the great things about pro football is there will be guys out there that might be trying to take your job, but guys will still be helping that guy to become a better player. And, you know, those are the guys that, you know, are team players. And those are the guys you want. And the other thing I think that stood out yesterday was there seems to be a lot more competition than we've seen in years past on this football team because
yeah.
the draft choices and the free agent signings.
Yeah, there is it is a deeper roster and one that, as you said, lends itself to competition. And that's exactly what Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine have been preaching from day one that they wanted. They wanted depth at every position and competition to bring out the best. That defensive line is a place that has a lot of depth and a lot of competition. And somebody who keeps catching my eye, and I know he's caught Vicks as well, is Billy Winn. I think he looks poised to kind of explode in this offense, Doug.
Yeah, in the defense, yeah.
Billy's
a tremendous athlete. I mean, I watch him before the games playing catch and stuff like that. And, you know, if he didn't weigh 300 pounds, you'd say he might be a tight end because, you know, he's an athletic guy. And the other thing is he's got a little attitude to him. And, you know, you want a defensive guy that's, you know, hey, he's not going to back down. You know, if it comes push comes to shove, Billy's going to be in there, you know, with the rest of them, and I mean, he's not afraid to mix it up. So, you know, he brings a little attitude to that defensive line, and you know, Phil Taylor, obviously is, started to come on, but you know, I give a lot of the credit to that to Ruben because you know, Ruben was, you know, such a, leader by example with the motor that he's got, and you know, if you just got to, you know, love that guy.